down of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio.
We can change.
And welcome to The Center Path. I'm your host, Jay Parker. It's March 28th, 2024, and we're continuing our ongoing series with Mark Passio, roughly labeled The End of the World / End of Western Civilization. Mark Passio is a teacher and a activist, and he's the founder of the Free Your Mind Conference, the One Great Work Network. He's done 25 years of constant study and lecturing and teaching. And I have to buy him a baseball or football helmet because he keeps smashing his head against this concrete wall. But anyway, let me introduce Tavistock Institute's favorite comedian, Mark Passio.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction, Jay. Reginald and Worthington are really going to have a ball tonight.
Oh, it's lovely.
Over at Tavistock. Hi, guys.
I'm sure they got their diapers and cognac and cigars. And
I hope so.
All ready to go.
Yep.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. The insanity. But I found, Mark, that, you know, when you get angry at looking at people who walk around in this Stockholm Syndrome, mind-controlled daze, I realize it's time to look at the other side of the coin and look at the fact that, hey, at least we didn't become child murdering pedophiles. And
I mean,
there's a lot of good information out there right now.
Sure. I mean, that's the only thing I really wake up in a grateful attitude regarding is that I'm not one of the ignorant masses. I'm not one of the people that don't understand what's going on and are in a complete state of confusion, don't understand how they've been soft killed, don't understand how their children have grown up in a completely immoral state of mind, as most of them have, don't understand all of the occult ritual sacrifices that are going on practically all around them on a daily basis. You know, such as the recent Moscow shooting, such as the recent bridge, you know, alleged collapses, you know, from being run into by cargo ships, et cetera. You know, they don't grasp the concept of the season of sacrifice of the occult. They don't understand how these occultists operate. They don't understand all the mind control going on all around them. I would dare to endeavor to say that even most of our own listening audiences are still in a state of thrall. And for people who don't know that word, T-H-R-A-L, thrall, means that you're held in a complete state of mental capture. That someone who knows infinitely more about your own psychology holds you in their sway. They hold you like a puppet master holds a puppet. And again, that's one of the only reasons I wake up in a grateful mood is that I'm not one of those people. And, you know, most people still have so much programming. They have so many distortions of their thought processes that they don't even know the beginning or the end of where all of these distortions in their own thoughts come from. They don't know that they have distorted thinking. Their thoughts are so distorted that they don't even understand how unhealthy their mental processes are. They're not even capable of recognizing their own ill state of mental health. And, again, that's the one thing that I'm grateful to creation for, that I came out of that state, that I'm not in that state anymore, and I'm not mentally and spiritually captured like most people are.
Well, I have to say that just looking at the film of the Francis Scott Key Bridge being destroyed, the ship takes a hard turn right into the pylon, and there are obviously two explosions in the superstructure, one on the left up high and another in the middle of the span up high, obviously you know, C4 or whatever they used. And so, you know, it's like once again we are denying what we see with our very own eyes, because that's what the party is asking us to do.
Of course. Most people, I don't know if I've ever even gone through the discussion of what the season of sacrifice is here on your show on The Center Path, but I could do it in a very abbreviated way. It's a 40-day time period that is between March 22nd through May 1st. So March 22nd, that's usually a couple of days after the spring equinox, all the way through May 1st, the midpoint of spring. May 1st is considered the highest of all occult holidays, especially within the dark occult or satanic slash Luciferian communities. May 1st is known as Walpurgisnacht. Walpurgisnacht is a German term that means Saint Walpurgis's Night. And it is essentially the midpoint of the spring season, and it is the fertility rites known as May Day. It starts on the midnight of April 30th into May 1st and proceeds into the next day through essentially the midday point of May 1st. This is an ancient ceremonial ritualized date that was very popular in ancient pagan communities and cultures. Not to say that paganism is directly equated with the world of the dark occult. It may have certain crossovers and overlaps, but that is not to say that paganism should be equated with Satanism or dark Luciferianism. But in this sort of twisted and distorted religious viewpoint of dark occultism and Satanism, May Day is seen as the highest of the four major Sabbats of the occult year. That being May 1st, which is again Walpurgisnacht or May Day, also known as Beltane in the Druidic calendar year. Beltane means Bel's wheel, which is the solar wheel of the zodiac calendar, named after Bel, Baal, Bill, the bull, sun god of the ancient zodiac. That's the midpoint of spring. The midpoint of summer is another one of the four major Sabbats, which is Lammas Day, also known as Midsummer, August 1st. And then going into the fall season, the midpoint of that season is October 31st, known as Halloween, Hallowmas. And then going into the winter season, the midpoint of that season is celebrated as February 2nd, which is Candlemas, or known in other traditions, Groundhog Day, etc. So those are the four major occult holidays, or what are known as Sabbath days, where we get the word Sabbath from in the Christian tradition. And these high holidays are essentially celebrated as days to either reflect or give thanks or celebrate. And in particularly in the spring season, it is a day of sacrifice to the sun and the earth for providing the light and the nutrients and the growing capability for our food and sustenance. And this is distorted in the dark occult calendar year as a day to spill blood upon the earth to ensure a bountiful harvest, because this is the planting season that comes up around that time of the year, going into all the way through what is known as the season of life from spring into summer, proceeding toward early fall, at which time you have the harvest season. So during this time period of spring and summer, it is considered a good time to make a sacrifice unto the sun and the earth to ensure that we have a good growing season to sustain us through what is known as the season of death, or the fall and the winter, in which, at least in the northern hemisphere, not much food is really capable of being grown in our climate and in our hemisphere. So this comes to us in the modern day as the time period known as the season of sacrifice, a 40-day period between approximately March 22nd into May 1st, upon which the dark occultists of our world tend to engage in and conduct ritualistic blood sacrifices to appease their version of their gods, to conduct their ritualistic procedures in which they think they're appeasing their gods, their energies, etc. This is known as the dark occult season of sacrifice, as I have called it in many explanations, and we're in it right now. It started really, there's a 3-day prelude to it in March 19th, 20th, and 21st. And then it begins in earnest on March 22nd, the day, ritualistically assigned to the Skull and Bones order, 322, clandestine lodge 322 in their clandestine version of Freemasonry, if you will. But it is definitely a dark occult society. And, you know, they're taking their lodge number after the beginning of this, the opening of this season of sacrifice. So we're in it right now, and I explain to people every year on my podcast, on my show, that we can expect to see blood sacrifice rituals conducted during this 40-day period. I've been talking about this for about 15 years on my show, and still, almost every single solitary year, they open right up on March 19th or March 22nd, you know, depending on how they feel that year, I guess, when they're ready to conduct, you know, some major blood sacrifice ritual. They trot out one of these rituals, like we've seen this year, two major ones, actually more than that, but two major ones that are really being discussed in the news cycle, if you would. And, you know, it just goes on and on without anybody flinching, blinking, or even saying. People have been calling this for 15 years. They've been trying to explain to you how the occult works for over 15 years. And you're still so ignorant that you don't understand and that you don't recognize that a ritual is being conducted right before your eyes. And well, it's tiring. It really is. Saying the same thing over and over and people not understanding what you're saying is very tiring.
I agree with you, and you know there's reasons for people in Stockholm syndrome to have this state of denial. It's simply because they're so full of mind control programming from the soposithic download in the programmable state, and they have this herd mentality. They go along to get along. But I would recommend to people go to Gematria Effect Sports and listen to Zach Hubbard talk about the numerology of Gematria as it goes into news and goes into sports. And the work he does, it's unbelievable. But the thing is, when he did a show on the Francis Scott Key, you know, sacrifice, I mean, it happened on 322. Hello, Skull and Bones, anyone? But it all came out 128 over and over again, 128. And I'm just saying that if you see like major events happening, you can go to Gematria Effect Sports and watch Zachary Hubbard break it down into Gematria and show you that it was a dark occult ritual. And that's all I gotta say.
We have to really begin understanding that the world is in control by dark occultists. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what it is going to take for people to understand that and also understand the distortion in human thought that they have instilled in people's minds. And again, I've been saying this for the past 17 years publicly, more than 20 years if you factor in the prelude to my official public work. And we are not only are we not closer to the understanding of what the occult world, the dark occult world has done regarding the distortion of human thought and belief systems, but we're further away from it than we were when I started. They have pushed people into deeper distortion in their thought processes than they were when I started my public work. Not only have I not been able to explain to the average moronic human being from the very beginning of my work when I started explaining this 17 years ago, we've moved in reverse. We've moved backwards in our understanding of how these people distort, confuse, and completely indoctrinate human beings into completely wrong thinking. And the majority of, I would say, I have to say, it's the majority of even the freedom-oriented community. Like, the freedom-oriented community is no better than the average masses of Joe Schmo public and Jane Schmo public. And I wish I could say it were otherwise, but it is not. It is not the case.
No, I mean, when you have people that still believe in the left-right paradigm and yep. in politics and government, you have people that don't get it yet. They don't realize that they're eternal spiritual awareness and that they're in a meat suit that is being manipulated.
Right. They don't understand that the major religion of the entire earth is also more likely than not the religious thought system that they they themselves have subscribed to. And that is Satanism. Most people in the world are Satanists and don't even know that they are Satanists. And that is because the Satanists of our world have inculcated the average person into their belief system, and they've locked them into this distorted form of thought so deeply that most people will never have the strength, the determination, the will, and most of all, the knowledge to ever extricate, meaning free, their thought processes from this distortion called Satanism. They don't know what Satanism is. They don't know what thought forms it takes. They don't know what thought forms it promotes. They're subscribed to those very thought forms and don't know that that's a part of Satanism. And then what they will then do and have been doing for the past 17 years that I've been desperately trying to explain to them this very knowledge is they will tell someone like me who came from the satanic world that is formulating all of these thoughts for people and inculcating them into these distorted forms of thought. And I was working with the Satanists, and I was helping them, and I was helping them to formulate these distorted thought forms and helping them to propagate these distorted thought forms. That was my job within the satanic occult world, is I was one of their mind control propagators. And I was very, 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 very low level within this community. I was not one of the big chief mahafs. I wasn't one of the high priests. I was a very, very, very low-level practitioner and low-level propagator of these occult belief systems and thoughts. I was no one important. I'm telling you that the people at the highest levels of this system of control, of human thought, of the distortion of human thought, were so many levels above where I was within this hierarchical system that operates worldwide that I was a complete nobody, know nothing within this system, yet I could at least see the superstructure. I could see the way that they were operating in the world, and I really, really, really wanted to help them at the time. I wanted to be part of that power structure. I wanted to be part of helping them to propagate this completely erroneous, crazy ideology out to people, and I was very, very, very good at it. I was exceptionally good at the propagation of that religion. And I could tell you now, what has happened over the last 17 years is I have tried to explain all of the ways that they give the average person their very own thought process. and all of the distortions of thought and all of the erroneous, completely nonsensical thinking that the average person continues to hold, continues to propagate, continues to cling on to. They cling on to these distorted thought forms so mercilessly that it is like a child that thinks they're going to die in the next second, clinging on to their mother's leg. That is how tight they cling on to these distorted thought forms. And they will not give them up unto their very death. They will go to the grave clinging on to these distortions in thought. And you could explain every aspect of how the Satanists gave them their thought. You could explain every aspect about how the Satanists and the dark Luciferians and all the dark occultists of this world gave the average human being, the average dumb, distorted thinking human being, their completely false thought process and system of belief that they cling on to like a little tiny child holding on to their mom's leg, thinking that they're going to die in the next second. That's how bitterly they cling to their own thoughts. And every one of those thoughts is created by the dark occultists, the Satanists of our world, and every one of those thoughts can only lead them into deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper slavery. And yet they cling to them mercilessly, and they tell people who are trying to free them of their own mental bondage and enslavement, go to hell. I don't want to hear about how you are involved and how you know this game plan and how you know all of the ways that our thinking has been distorted, and you're trying to help us free ourselves of all of those distortions in human thought so that we can actually become free beings. Go to hell. I want nothing to do with that. I want no part of that. And we can talk about the what I call the five main human thought distortions. I'm going to start getting into this in more of my work. It's going to be probably a very, very intensive all-day presentation that I'm going to explore these human thought form distortions maybe later this year or early next year. I'm going to put together an all-day internet seminar. It's going to be probably an eight-hour seminar, just like I did with Natural Law, just like I did with Demystifying the Occult, just like I did with Two Masks, Same Face, The Dark Occult Origins of Nazism and Communism, which, by the way, very, very proud to announce, I have finally released that on flash drive and DVD. It's available at my website, whatonearthishappening.com, in the gifts section. You go to gifts and sign in there, and you can get Two Masks, Same Face. It has finally been released, as I promised the last time on your show. I was working feverishly on getting that released. It is now finally out to the public. I've been even having a hard time keeping up on orders. So many people have requested it. It's been very good that a lot of people want that knowledge. They want that information, and they've been ordering that on DVD and flash drive. So that is now available. But this new presentation, I'm thinking about titles. I'm kicking around titles in my mind, and I'm thinking about calling it The Deepest, Darkest Secrets of the Occult: How Dark Occultists Enslave Humanity. The very way that they give us the very thought forms, the distorted thought forms that will continue to make us enslave ourselves. And I just have to say, before we continue the discussion, the majority of my viewing and listening audience are still stuck in most of these thought forms, and more likely than not, the majority of this viewing and listening audience is still stuck in those distorted thought forms. And until we change that, until we change the way that human beings think, forget anything that's going on in the world, forget actions, forget events, forget any 3D matters, anything that is taking place in the physical world, the physical domain, if it's an event, if it's something that takes place in the physical, forget it. You will do nothing to better it. You will do nothing to change it. You will do nothing to improve it. You will do nothing to make the entire state of the entire human experience more free, better, more prosperous in any way whatsoever until you change your own thought form distortions. Until you change the distortions in the way you think, and until you come to logical, reasonable thought processes, forget being able to change anything in the external world. It is a complete and utter impossibility until the mind is changed first.
Yeah, this is why Jesus Christ was sacrificed at Golgotha. It's a place of the skull.
Where
you
the mind is at.
You have to change your mind.
That's it.
And whether you believe that Christ was here 2,000 years ago or here 2 million years ago, the spiritual reality is the ball is in our court. It's
right.
Up to us to take it and make the effort to realize the grace of the God of creation. And that natural law needs to be put back on the throne. And right now, it's the law of man. And I was talking to Catherine Waters today, and I said, you're not going to fix this problem until you change people's worldview.
That's
until
it.
You're in the world and not of it.
Right.
That's what Christ said. You have to be in the world and not of it. That means and also, did you see what James O'Keefe said recently?
I did not, no.
He was being interviewed before a audience of people. He was up on a stage, and he said, unless your commitment is unto death,
absolutely,
forget about it.
That's
he
right.
said, how much are you willing to be paid?
Yep.
What's it going to take? Is it going to take $1 million, $10 million, $1 billion? What is it going to take for you to forgo morality and ethics?
And what is it going to take?
Everybody in the audience gasps. They gasp, Mark.
Yep.
Because they didn't realize that's the commitment that Jesus Christ asked for.
That's it.
He
you
said,
have to be willing
martyr.
To take it all
you
the way.
You want to follow me, be a martyr.
That's right. You got to be willing to go all the way. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, the question really is, how much skin are you willing to put in the game? That's it. Are you willing to make a sacrifice of your time, of your resources, of your attention, of your energy? Most people don't want to put any skin in this game. They want to continue to listen, 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 listen. It's a form of entertainment. It's a mental curiosity to them instead of something that you actually have to participate in through your own actions. That's what most of the audience listening still has yet to understand. This is not about listening and listening and listening and listening and gathering more and more and more and more and more information, folks. This is about putting skin in the game yourself and getting involved in speaking out and teaching others and getting them to and helping to influence their mindset and worldview toward the truth and toward something far better than what they've been inculcated into believing and accepting.
And I just want to say that there are energy psychologies out there like EFT, Psy-K, many things, talks by Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Dr. Bruce Lipton on YouTube. Tom Ballou does great work with Impact Theory, his YouTube channel, having really cutting-edge philosophers talk about the human condition and why people are so self-destructive. And you have to know ancient history, like the Sumerians and like Carlos Castaneda. The Iraqi shaman said they gave us their mind. If
That's
you
right.
don't know the Sumerian writings, that kingship came down from heaven along with religion.
That's right.
Came down from heaven. the Anunnaki brought their mind and instilled it into the people. Now, whether
they gave us all of the thought distortions, they gave us government, they gave us religion, they gave us kingship, they gave us all of the things that keep us enslaved in a form of belief systems. And that's what I mean by the distortion of thought. They gave us other distortions of thought too, and the modern dark occultists compounded this. These sorcerers of the mind gave us even infinitely deeper and darker distortions of thought. I mean, that's what I'd like to get into in a few moments, but go ahead, continue.
But Mark, they didn't give us money.
Oh, of course. Yeah, never. Yeah. See, they, believe it or not, Jay, when I got into the origins of all of these things on my podcast, that was the only time ever in the history of my work that I was attacked technologically. I got hit with distributed denial of service attacks, DDoS attacks, when I talked about the origins of money, the origins of religion, the origins of government. That was the only time when I talked about the origins of world institutional bodies. That is the only time that my work was ever directly attacked technologically. Can you, after all the things that I've ever said, they went after human origins, and specifically not even just human origins. It was as if they didn't even care about talking about where humanity came from. They went after my work when I got into the origins of human institutions, namely the institutions of government, religion, and money.
Mm-hmm.
The only time my work was ever technologically attacked.
Yeah, until you know the history behind that, the ancient Sumerian, the Mayan codexes, and what they have to say. You have to study the ancient mythology, and you see the metaphors for where we are today.
That's right.
And it's not rocket science, but it does take some effort. It does take some time. You'll have to give up a few football games.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's an excellent, very beginner book on this topic. It's called The Babylonian Genesis. Not that big, maybe a couple hundred pages. It outlines all of the origin stories of Babylon and Sumer, and it really gets into the comparisons between these ancient origin stories and the biblical origin story. So I would very much recommend it to especially people who are in a religious persuasion mindset, namely Christian, to look at that book called The Babylonian Genesis and really deeply compare it to the biblical origin stories of Genesis and the Torah in general. And you'll be amazed. You'll be absolutely amazed at the overlap and the detail that is left out of the Bible but contained in the Babylonian human origins.
Well, when you look at the 12 negative confessions of the Egyptians against the Ten Commandments, you're like, uh-oh.
Yep.
Something ain't right. Yeah. It's like all I have to say is, you know, you look at the Ark of the Covenant. It's an Egyptian thing.
Of course.
It's not a Jewish thing.
Right.
And all I have to say is I spent a lot of time listening to Jordan Maxwell, and all I have to say is you have to be able to listen to things that really upset you.
That's right.
And ponder them and really think about them.
Your worldview
really
has to be
the consequences of all our actions. We live in a world where chemtrailing has been going on for 30 years and people don't even realize or
still
recognize
can't see
it.
Yep.
And we're looking at a genocide in Gaza, and half the planet is saying, it's not genocide.
They're cheering it on.
You can drop bombs on children, and it's no problem.
Not only in denial of it, cheering it on, you know, not even accepting that it's an apartheid state.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing, the complete and
it's
utter,
amazing what people can do in the name of God.
Yeah. Completely contradictory thoughts simultaneously. That's what humanity is really good at doing. You know, like you said, we have to be willing to accept very, very, very uncomfortable truths. We have to be willing to accept that there's really, really bad problems going on inside of us. Forget looking at the external world. You got to first look at the distortions in your own thinking and stop thinking that you are okay. Almost no one is okay. Almost no one actually has the truth in hand and actually has the answers. The problem is also when people who have done a whole lot of research and a whole lot of digging keep second guessing themselves and living in a state of complete doubt. You know, and they wait too long to teach it to other people. They have natural law in hand, and they keep second-guessing themselves. They have
– you have to let it flow from you to get more information.
Without a doubt.
That's the way it works in the universe. If you just collect it for yourself, no, it doesn't work that way.
You have to actually
take positive action.
Without a doubt. That's what wisdom is. Wisdom is doing the right thing with what you have come to know. It is not just knowledge in and of itself. Knowledge is a way to move toward a state of empowerment. It is not power in and of itself. It is what you do with it that can convert it into a state of empowerment for yourselves and for others. And, you know, this was really hammered into me when I was at the beginning of my early career in disseminating this information, really a little bit before I started doing it. I traveled down to the state of Virginia to go hear a lecture on Mesoamerican calendrics, the Mayan calendar, and other calendrical systems of the Mesoamerican cultures. And in this lecture, after the lecture was over, I got in a conversation with several people who attended. And one of the people was a woman who was hearing what I was saying. And, I was talking about other things that I knew about the occult world. And she asked me the simple question. She made a statement first and then asked me a question. She said, "You're one of the most knowledgeable people that I've ever heard even touch on these topics, just from the little bit of time I've been speaking with you." She said, "I think humanity could really greatly benefit from you putting this information out there publicly into the world. What have you been doing in that regard?" And I said, "Well, really nothing. I've been just going around, listening to other people lecture, watching videos, collecting information, downloading things from the internet, and I haven't really been doing much in putting it out there myself." And she answered me in a very stern and non-polite way, and she said, "What the hell makes you think you have the right to just sit on all of that and do nothing with it?" Just like that. I was like shocked. I was taken aback. I was like, I can't believe she just said that to me that sort of rudely, like just straight up, unapologetically, and borderline rudely, right to my face, standing there, right in front of me. And when I went home that night, I started thinking about what she said. And then I kept thinking about it the next day and the day after that. And then 3 weeks went on until I was in a state of borderline insomnia every night, because all I could hear was this woman's voice echoing in my mind saying, "You're just sitting on all that information? What makes you think you have a right to do that?" And I literally couldn't sleep for a few weeks. And I made the decision very shortly thereafter. It didn't take me that long. Most people, it takes years to make this decision. It took me a few weeks, by my own admission, approximately a month. And, you know, after literal bouts of insomnia for almost a month, hearing this woman's voice echo in my mind while I'm trying to sleep at night, not being able to sleep, I finally realized this person's completely correct. I'm not correct in what I'm doing by doing nothing with this knowledge. I'm sitting on it. I'm amassing more and more and more and more and more, and I'm not putting it out there for other people's benefit, their edification, their, you know, learning process themselves. And what good is that doing in the world? what good is me gathering more information, doing the world, unless I decide to put it back out there for other people? And so that actually is what led to What on Earth is Happening and all of my subsequent work in the future after that, is one person saying to me, you don't have the right to sit on all that knowledge. You know what she said? And I've said this on my own podcast. Her words to me, literally, like actual words, she said, "What you are is Niagara Falls inside of a water balloon." Those were her exact words to me. She said, "What do you think's going to happen with all of that pressure? You're a water balloon and you got the whole full force of Niagara Falls flowing into it." She's like, that has to go somewhere. You need an outlet for all of that information and knowledge that you have inside your mind. She said, you're a living library and you're closed to the public. Your doors are closed to the public. While you, in fact, are a living library, all of that knowledge is doing no good to the entire public of humanity unless you start putting that out there. And, you know, thankfully, she said it to me completely unapologetically. And that's what I needed. That's what I had to hear. That's what had to light a fire underneath my rear end to say, you know what, this person's completely correct. I'm not doing what I should be doing. And what makes me think I have the right to just sit on all of that and not put it out there for other people's educational benefit? So that's what led me to become a public teacher of the information that I teach.
It's absolutely spiritual law that when you take the truth, learn it, and share it, you get more wisdom, you get more truth.
That's
because,
right.
Because, you know, what's Kevin Trudeau say? It's the cooking school. Go out and cook something.
Right.
You know, if you don't cook something, we're not going to teach you how to cook another dish. Cook the first one, idiot.
That's right. If you fill up a glass with water and you don't empty it or pour it out into another vessel or container, you can't put any more water in that glass. It's full. Mm-hmm. That's it. So you empty it out, more comes in. You empty it out, more gets poured in. That's how the whole process of learning and information flow works. Absolutely, without a doubt.
And it's just like the human body. You have to have flow. You have to have sharing. I mean, if people would understand when they talked about the body of Christ, we're supposed to be cells in the body of humanity, all right? And we're caretakers of the earth, not destroyers.
That's right.
And if you got some other attitude going on, you're out of your mind. Exactly what Voltaire said. You know, Earth is where the universe sends all its insane people.
Think about it. If we're supposed to be cells in the body, if there are certain cells that are weak and non-active and dying and becoming cancerous, that's going to affect the whole body.
Right.
We're only going to be as strong as the weakest link in the chain, as the weakest cell in the body. You know, so that's why this isn't for some people. This is for everyone to engage in. This is for everyone to step up and take their part in that community and that body. That is a perfect metaphor for what we really need to enact, for what we need to enable and activate. You know, that is the body of the Christ consciousness within the worldwide community. I'd like to talk about the distortions of thought that I was referring to earlier, because I just think that this is the thing that has been sort of upsetting me on my own work a lot. And maybe this will be a good opportunity for me to reiterate some of this stuff, explain some new things that I haven't really talked about in the ways that I want to talk about them. And maybe just think about, how can I explain this in a way where people who are really still rigidly attached to their own distorted thought forms can really step back for a moment and hear what's being said, really, really be present and listen to what's really actually being said? Because I've done social experiments that we talked about last about two or three weeks ago on this very program here on the Center Path, and I was explaining to people how the bulk of the human community has these complete erroneous ideas bouncing around in their mind, in their whole worldview. Their worldview is distorted regarding, number one, morality, what they believe is moral when it is not moral, when it is based in coercion and duress and violence, and it is completely immoral, and they still believe it to be okay and moral and perfectly acceptable and morally justifiable. We have most people in our world today are actually bad people who believe falsely that they are good people. That's
well,
the
as
main.
As you have the mainstream media say it's okay, Mark. You're
that's right.
Hook.
Absolutely. Even in the distortedly thinking alternative media community and in the so-called freedom movement community, you still have people that have carried all these distortions of thought right into this alleged movement with them. They haven't abandoned them as what I call false religions. These are completely false religions.
Well, it's very similar to, like, there was the Ron Paul movement that was teaching the keys of satanic power in the world, the Federal Reserve, the central banks, the money, okay? And then you had a Reformation where people rebelled against the Catholic Church, but they took so much of Catholicism with them.
Right.
Was it really anything more than separating the church so they could have more war?
That's right. And it's a distortion in moral thought. Mm-hmm. See, people want to believe, they want to equate religion and morality. And that is one of the biggest distortions of thought that there is, to try to equate religious thought with actual objective morality. That's where humanity has really gone completely off the true spiritual path. We want to believe that our religion is the truth instead of making the actual truth regarding morality our religion. See, this is where man puts himself up on a pedestal as God, saying my ways of looking at morality are the true ones. So that's going to be the religion that I get everybody to identify with and believe in, and that is called Satanism. The true path to freedom through real spirituality is understanding the actual, true, and objective laws of the creator of the universe when it comes to morality, and aligning your behavior to those actual laws, not as taught by any world religion, but as truly discovered through natural law, through the truth discovery process of the Trivium Method, to learn the truth and discover objectively what the reality we are living in is and the laws that govern that reality, and to really get our ego out of the way when it comes to wanting to stay completely attached to thought forms and religious thinking that has not served us whatsoever. It's not a matter of trying to convert more people to your already distorted religious views. It's a matter of abandoning false morality as taught by distorted religions and false religions, and really coming into a deep, unfiltered, true, and objective understanding of real morality that exists in the fabric of the universe as put there by the Creator itself. This is what humanity has failed to do over the aeons. This is why we're still enslaved. This is why we are a slave species. We are enslaved, and we exist on this planet as a slave species because we have not yet recognized the laws, the moral laws of the creator of the universe, and aligned our behavior objectively to those objective laws. We haven't done that process, and that's why we're still a slave species.
Well, you know, I just have to say that, you know, seeing James O'Keefe on that stage saying, what's your price? Is it $1 million, $10 million, you know, $1 billion? Mm-hmm. If you can be bought, if you're not into this.
Yep. If you have any price.
If your life, you know, the only price I have, I don't have a price. I have my life behind my principles. And when you get to the place where you understand your innate spirituality and you understand that the Creator has forgiven you all your trespass, and that the only thing holding you back from being a son or daughter of the living Creator is your own mind, then you got work to do.
That's
but
right.
Also, you got to get into the flow of taking information in and sharing it and doing everything you can to be like a pinball in a pinball machine. And you just keep hitting the bumpers.
Right.
And, like, it takes 7 times of telling someone the truth before they'll even consider something that they received as a belief in the programmable state.
That's right.
So we need to have more people talking about the truth. And I have to say that when you look at Alice Jones or you look at alternative media people, they'll give you 80% of the truth. But they won't talk about the Federal Reserve. They won't talk about the illegal federal income tax. They won't talk about the Banking Act of 1871 or the Act of 1868 that turned America into a corporation. They won't talk about the last 20% of truth that would get people saying, okay, we can't have anything to do with this.
When we come back from the break, Jay, I'm going to get into some of the things that go even – that transcend even all of those methods of the control system, because they are what I would call the 5 deepest occult distortions of human thought, where people, as you just said, they're given these distortions in the programmable state when they're children, and they never work those viruses out of the computer of the human mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes with Mark Pascio here at Revolution.radio, the center.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Mountain High Time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness, discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on Revolution.Radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fam. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic Marsal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And we're back. I'm Jay Parker, your host for The Center Path. My guest tonight is Mark Passio of What on Earth is Happening. And I just want to say that this being the Easter weekend, many Christians don't even know that Christ was crucified on Wednesday, a high holy day, Passover, and he died between the evens. He died as they were actually sacrificing the lambs for Passover. And then he had to spend 2 days in the crypt, and then he rose again. If you kill someone after 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday and they rise again Sunday morning, that's not 2 days, is it? No, it isn't, friends. Then another thing is you see the iconography and the steganography of Jesus Christ between two robbers and one on either side. But the truth of the word that's written is he was killed between two robbers. Then, after they divided his clothes and gambled for his possessions, two evildoers came and they were crucified. So, Golgotha was 5 people being crucified, not 3. And also, the number 5 is the number of grace. And I'm just saying that status quo Christianity is really messed up. I mean, when you have the Catholic Pope being asked by his bishops and cardinals to have an investigation of pedophilia in the priesthood, and he forbids it, and yet millions of Catholics still support the church. What does that say to you? If people still give money to the Catholic Church, even though the Pope that is now on the throne of Peter says that he refuses any investigation of pedophilia. Well, if you're going to hang out with pedophiles, you deserve what you get. Mark, continue.
The main thing with all of religion is completely low IQ people taking a literalist interpretation of all types of scriptures and texts that are considered holy by religious traditions. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand that they're largely allegorically written, because if they were not, the people that wrote them would have been in trouble with the political authorities of their day and probably would have been tortured to death. And low IQ people in the modern world insist on literalist interpretations of these texts instead of understanding the allegories contained within them. As you said, with Golgotha, the place of the skull is where the Christ consciousness is put to death, because it's put to death in the mind. In Revelation, we talked about before on this show, the idea of the mark of the beast is in the head and in the hand, which means it's a contradiction between your thoughts and your actions. Your thoughts are in your mind and your actions are done with your hands. The idea that if you exist in a state of contradiction between thoughts and actions, you've already taken the mark of the beast. And other allegories, like I talked about a couple of weeks ago, the original sin is not sex. It is not the eating of a piece of fruit in a garden. It is moral relativism. It is taking unto oneself the knowledge of the difference between good and evil instead of discovering what the laws of the Creator actually are and then aligning one's own behavior to them. And, people will still insist that this is not true and insist on their imbecilic, childish literalist interpretation, and that's why they'll die in a state of ignorance. And you got to let those people go. They're forever going to be morons. They're never going to understand the truth. They don't understand that the truth of morality is not contained in any one religious tradition. It exists in the fabric of nature itself. It exists in the universe. It's not written in a book. It's written on the human heart. And they don't get that because they're dumb people. And they want to say, what religion do you believe in? And I'm trying to explain that religion is a box for consciousness. You're never going to get to Christ consciousness by believing in religion. You're never going to become enlightened by believing in any religion. It doesn't matter what your religion is. Religion is a way to stop you from becoming enlightened. Religion is a way to stop you from really understanding the laws of the universe, because you'll continue to break them and continue to enslave yourself and everybody else. The Creator wants us to know the laws of the universe. It doesn't want us to remain ignorant of them. Religion keeps us ignorant of natural law. I don't subscribe to any religion. I believe that there is. I don't even say that I believe in. I know that creation was made by a God with laws that are extant, that exist in the universe. And there are moral laws that govern our behavior. That's not a belief. It's a science. I don't need to believe in anything. That's like saying, do you believe in gravity? To say, do you believe the universe was created by an intelligent force that put law into effect that ultimately governs everything in creation, including behavior, is not a belief system or a religion. That's as crazy. Easy as saying, do you believe that you have to breathe oxygen to live? That's how retarded that statement is. Do you believe in this? Is this your religion? No, I understand a science that most of humanity has yet failed to recognize. That's the difference between me and imbecilic religionists. That's why I attack religion so hard. It's for low IQ morons that can't think outside the box, that are going to keep themselves enslaved because they think inside the box. They're never going to come out of that condition. They're going to die in a state of ignorance. They want that, and they want to remain that retarded and dumb. So we have to let those dumb people go. They're never coming out of that condition till the day they die, and then they're going to get really shocked and appalled and surprised by what they find in the realm of after-death consciousness, because they're going to realize how distorted their thinking and belief structure was, and it had nothing to do with the Creator of the universe at all, or its laws. And then they're going to wake up in a state of shock after leaving this incarnation of being. So to those people, I don't have anything to say to you. You're imbeciles. You've always been imbeciles, and you're going to die imbeciles. So to the people who do have the ability to comprehend, to the people who do have some innate intelligence rattling around in their mind, but yet may still be in a cage of the mind, let's go into the explanation of the distortions of human thought that the Satanists want people to believe in to keep them enslaved. You are trained to believe certain things to keep you enslaved. And your owners, your masters, the Satanists of this world, continue to get you to accept those beliefs in your state of retardation. Because that's where most people are at. They're low-Q retards. And I'm not saying that to dismiss or make fun of actual retarded people who have, like, you know, a very severe, you know, neurological condition that's, you know, has devastated their IQ and motor functions, etc. That's a terrible, terrible thing. To be retarded means to have been slowed down. Look up the actual definition of the verb retard. R-E-T-A-R-D is a verb that means to slow down, to become retarded, like to retard the flow of water, to retard the flow of any liquid. It means you've slowed it down. You've grabbed the hose and you've pinched it off, and now the water flow is retarded throughout the hose. That's what has happened with human thought and human evolutionary progress in spirituality. It's been retarded. It has been slowed down to the point where it is now stagnant. The water is completely stagnant, and it smells like a whole bunch of human waste, okay? And it's not moving and flowing, and it's like a backed-up sewer. You ever smell a backed-up sewer? Jay, I know there's a backed-up sewer. There was a backed-up sewer on your very street in South Philadelphia, because every time I come down there and I park down there in South Philly, I smell the decaying stench of all the rotten sewer waste right on your corner, because the street system of Philadelphia is a decaying mess, just like the human mind is. See, that's what sanity means. It's from sanitation. To make something sanitized is to clean it and take it out of a state of filthy, decaying muck and to put it into a state of actual cleanliness and health, to remove all the toxins from it. And that's why we don't have sanity. We have insanity in this world. We have people with completely distorted, mucked up brains. And they're in a condition that's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. Look it up, the Dunning-Kruger effect. The two scientists, Dunning and Kruger, came up with this very accurate notion that really, really, really dumb people who have low IQs and who don't have the actual capability of thinking on a higher level at all, that they are literally incapable of doing it, that it's not within their mental makeup. It's like a broken – it's like if you amputate a hand and then you tell somebody, can you take this object for me with the hand that I just cut off from your arm? They literally cannot do it. Is it impossible? Because they don't have the appendage anymore. This is how distorted most people in the world's thought processes are. They are distorted to the point of not only being retarded, but amputated. So I'm going to put out the intention today that instead of getting really angry about it, I'm going to try to speak to the people who still have the hand to receive this knowledge from an actually intelligent human being that does know how the laws of the universe work and does know true morality and lives it and aligns oneself to it and is trying to tell people, you have been lied to and you have been dumb, but if you work hard enough, you can actually become intelligent and you can learn how things really work in the realm of nature, which is what the creator of the universe, the God of all creation, put into effect for our maximum benefit. The creator didn't put these laws into effect to torture us with their unknowability. It didn't put these laws into effect to torture us and put us into some kind of a prison. It was an act of the greatest love and compassion to put the laws into effect, the moral laws into effect, into creation, to guide us to our optimum benefit, to make us the best that we could possibly be as beings. And if people want to say that my understanding of that is somehow not as good as some nonsensical BS crap religious belief that doesn't teach them the correct answers regarding morality and gives them distorted forms of morality that will never lead them to true freedom and is going to put them in a state of enslavement. You're Satanists. You're not people of God. You're not people of Christ. You're not people of goodness at all. You're Satanists. You're the people believing the Satanists of the world and their distorted morality, and then wanting people to believe those same distortions in morality that's going to enslave them as well. You're rotten trash. You're vermin as human beings. That's not what a good person does. A good person tries to get to the truth, which is what God would want us to do, to learn the truth. When Jesus in the New Testament gave us the prescription for being free of the slavery of the ancient Egyptian kingdom, he said to the disciples, to his apostles, know the truth. He didn't say make a religion and worship me as God. He said know the truth. Know the truth regarding the laws of the Creator of the universe, and then you'll become free. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what a number religion has done on the human mind and heart. It's sad and it's shameful, quite frankly. I shouldn't get angry. What I should do is communicate how shameful it is that people are still that stupid. It's a shameful, horrific...
You can cut it up all you want, Mark, but it really produces some great war.
Right. I get it. And that's what we need. We need war against untruth. That's what we need. Here's the distortions that almost everybody in my and your listening audience still have, unfortunately. Most of them. Not all of them, but I would venture to say most of them, the majority. And I can gauge this. See, part of what my work is in everything that I do is not just to put the truth out there, but to really accurately gauge where human consciousness is in any given moment. I do these shows called Human Consciousness Checkpoints, where I'm talking about where people are at, because the average person who is going to go out and teach this has to know where their potential audience's mindset currently is, and they need to speak to that. You know, they can't just go out there blindly, not knowing where we're at. Because if we don't know where we're at, then we have no way, we have no frame of reference to set where our destination needs to be. That's why I talk about how distorted people's thinking is. So here's the I'm going to give you some of the keys to understanding your master's mindsets and how they've enslaved you. And this is, I call this the deepest, darkest secrets of all of the occult, specifically the dark occult world. If you want to know the deepest secrets of Satanism, here's what they are, folks. And I know this because I was a priest in the satanic religion in my youth. And I learned their secrets, and then I had a crisis in conscience. I realized what real morality was. I studied the occult even deeper and deeper and deeper so that I could really understand how they're poisoning your mind and help you unpoison it. And you know what I get for that? I get spit in the face by morons. I get crapped upon by people with no knowledge who only have belief and ill-informed opinion and want to say their belief and ill-informed opinions are as good as my hard-earned and hard-won knowledge when it comes to what the actual Satanists and occultists of this world are doing to their very own minds. No, I know the truth, and if you want to learn it, listen up, because here comes some of the hardest core secrets of the occult world. Here's what they are. I'm going to give you five poisoning methods. These are the five ways that, or just five of the ways, but they're probably the five biggest ways that Satanists distort your own thinking and keep you enslaved by the very distortion of your own thought forms. And here's what they are. There's five forms of poisoning mentally. The first form of mental poison that most people buy into is called ontological poisoning. So what ontology is the study of the nature of reality, the study of the ways that reality manifests itself and the ways that it can be perceived by consciousness. That is what ontology is. Look it up. O-N-T-O-L-O-G-Y, ontology. So this is ontological poisoning. I know it's a big word, but if you use a dictionary or if you use Wikipedia, people can go and look it up and find out what the big word means. That's how we discover how reality functions. We look up definitions and we try to learn and put pieces of the fabric of reality together and make sense of it. So we are ontologically poisoned, and the main form of ontological poisoning is there is no such thing as truth. That is the ideology and the ontological poisoning method called solipsism. And let me say it correctly, and let me spell it correctly for the listening audience to go and look this up. Solipsism. S-O-L-I-P-S-I-S-M, solipsism. Okay? Solipsism is the belief that there is no such thing as objective truth or objective reality in nature, that it is everything is a matter of opinion, and nothing can truly be known as knowledge. Okay? As your dad always said, you can never know. That's solipsism. That is a solipsistic belief system, and it is the main part of poisoning of ontological worldview. What I am calling here ontological poisoning. This is the very first method that the dark occult uses against humanity. And let me tell you something. I went out and conducted social experiments out in the world, and over two-thirds of human beings alive on this planet, no matter what city we did them in, whether we did them in rural areas, whether we did them in urban areas, whether we did them in suburban areas, it didn't matter where we did our social experiments, over two-thirds, about 66% of human beings say there's no such thing as objective truth. Everything is just a matter of subjective opinion and whatever we want to believe. Could you imagine this? And then we wonder why we're an enslaved species. We wonder why we are enslaved by Satanism. Because we don't even believe that there's a truth. And the Christ figure of the New Testament told us that there was only one path to freedom, and that was to know what the truth is, to know the truth, and then you will be set free. And imagine, two-thirds of humanity, two out of three people, don't even believe or accept that there is such a thing as objective truth and objective reality. They are solipsists. That's Satanism. That's the main way that Satanists put people into their biggest trap, what I call the biggest lie, the idea, the religion, the complete distortion in thought, the ideology. There's no such thing as truth at all. It's just all a matter of opinion. See, there is such a thing as opinion. Like if I like the sports drink that I'm drinking right now, the vitamin mineral drink I'm drinking out of my glass right now, if I like it, that's an opinion. Somebody else might drink it. They might want to spit it out immediately because they hate it. That's an opinion. Neither opinion is correct about what there's no truth of the matter, whether it tastes really good or it's revolting and makes you want to spit it out. That's a matter of subjective opinion. That is not what everything is. See, whether an action initiates harm to another sentient being or whether an action does not initiate harm to another sentient being is not a matter of opinion. It's not a subjective process. There's an objective reality of whether that behavior is harmful or isn't harmful. And the definition of harm is that it diminishes something that doesn't belong to you. That's what it does. You damage or diminish something that doesn't belong to you. The ways of harming: murder, assault, rape, theft, trespass, coercion, and deception. Those are the harmful behaviors. Those are the initiation of harmful behaviors that are not rights. And religionists believe that harmful behaviors are the so-called seven deadly sins of pride, gluttony, sloth, lust, anger, jealousy, and greed, all thought forms that, yes, would lead to the degradation of yourself by continuing to dwell in those thought forms, but in and of themselves are not initiations of behaviors against others. Hence, they are not transgressions against moral law. I put out a whole presentation on this called The Real Seven Deadly Sins, as opposed to the false seven deadly sins of nonsensical, imbecilic religion that teaches people false morality instead of true morality. That's why we're in this mess, folks. People don't know the real difference between right and wrong and have a distorted version of right and wrong, and we're going to get to that. That's distortion in morality, but that's coming later. That's number 4 out of 5. The second poisoning that the Satanists give to human beings is epistemological poisoning. Oh, look out! Here comes Passio with the big words again. You know, we got to give baby little spoon feeding. We can't give any big words that have to be looked up. See, this is part of the problem with human thought, too, is when people hear a word they don't understand, they don't look it up. They just let it go, let it pass them by, say, oh, I don't know what that meant. He's too smart for me. And they never try to become as intelligent by actually looking up the word that was said. Look up epistemology. If you've never heard of it, if you don't know what it means, you don't just let it go. That's what a little baby child does, is he just says, and that's what people's parents taught them to be. They taught you to be and remain a child instead of growing into an actual responsible, intelligent adult. Right? An intelligent, responsible adult doesn't let a word that they don't understand go and go, oh, well, that guy's just probably smarter than me. I'm not meant to be as smart as him. My parents told me that. They told me, don't bother looking up words you don't understand. Just keep going with the conversation. No, wrong, incorrect. Look it up. Epistemology. Epistemology is essentially the study of how we come into a state of knowledge. How do you know what you know? How do you verify that something is true? This is the mental process of how to actually learn anything. And this is why people are so dumb. They're so dumb and have so much distorted thought inside, rattling inside their head cage, that it's because they have never truly learned how to think or learn. They never learned that in school. Their parents never taught that to them. Their mother and father, their teachers, their pastors, their relatives, etc. No one ever taught them how to actually learn and think. So they're grasping at straws. They're just reaching up and trying to grasp and hold on to anything. And it's all just distortions in thought, and they don't really know how to learn. They've never been taught the method of learning, the true method of learning, the true truth discovery process is the trivium. It is a threefold process of gathering.
I have to say something. You love this. I was talking to Catherine Waters the other day, and she was telling me a story about an NYU professor she knows that got fired for teaching his students critical thinking and the trivium.
I believe that, because they don't want that secret of the occult getting out, especially to children. I mean, that's taken very, 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 very seriously by the dark occultists. And while, yes, that's a funny anecdote because, he tried to do the right thing and got fired for it. I get it. But I want to take that right to a point of deadly seriousness. The dark occultists, the Satanists of our world, they do not mess around when it comes to the trivium. And if they find their own or people that they're hiring and paying money teaching a slave the trivium, forget about it. They go after them. That they want to put those people in the poorhouse. They want to. I'm surprised more people haven't been killed for teaching children the trivium, because that is something they'll kill people for. The Satanists of our world, they really do not want the trivium getting out to the average slave. That's for sure. So, this is part of epistemological poisoning. Epistemological worldview poisoning. So epistemology, I'll spell it. People can look it up. Learn the word. Look it up. It's one of the most important words in the English language. Epistemology is epistemology. It means the study of how we come to a place of knowledge. How do you know that you know? How do you know what you know, etc.? So this is the actual truth discovery process, the real and ancient methodology for learning anything. And it has been completely removed, as Jay so correctly said, from all modern educational forms. All modern education has removed the trivium. And they are not teaching logical, critical thought skills through the trivium process to the young, or anyone for that matter. This is why people cling so much to false religious belief, because they've never been taught the trivium and don't know how to logically think through the process of actually discovering what the truth is. They don't have that in hand, that tool set. And that tool set is the gathering of eclectic knowledge. Eclectic means from many, many, many widely and varied places. You don't just go to one source, you go to thousands of sources. From all different points of view, and you gather it all. You make no judgments about the knowledge. You just do the gathering. That's step one of the trivium. That is called the grammar step, because the grammar means you are gathering all the building block parts that are going to become a language later on. If you don't know the grammar, you don't know how the language works. This is the problem with all of the world. The researcher and ethnobotanist and psychedelics researcher Terence McKenna once had a brilliant quote. He said, if you know the words that the world is made of, you can make of it whatever you wish. And we don't know the words the world is made of because we don't have the grammar of the world in hand. We haven't studied eclectically enough. We haven't gathered all of that knowledge and put it in one place where we could then begin sifting through it and logically processing it. That's the second step of the trivium, is the logical processing step to weed out logical inconsistencies in a data set. That's part two. You are performing logical transforms upon all of the gathered grammar. Most people never do this step. If they gather any grammar at all, they usually don't gather enough, and then they skip the logical transform step and they go right to the end stage, which is trying to put it out there and making other people believe it when they have not logically processed it well enough. Number one, they haven't gathered all the data they need, and number two, they don't understand the logical process to actually sift through all of that and actually come to an accurate understanding of all of those seemingly disparate pieces of knowledge. They don't have that capability in their mind. They've been dumbed down too much to be able to do that, most people. And again, that's the Dunning-Kruger effect. It's people who are really low IQ, who don't know how to do these processes in data gathering and logical transforms, but yet believe they can. So they think they're smarter than what they actually are. See, and then the Dunning-Kruger process works in reverse as well. Really intelligent people unfortunately ascribe too much capability to really dumb people and believe that they can ever truly really learn. Some people are amputated. They don't have the ability to learn, and they're going to die in ignorance. And we have to come to grips with that. The intelligent have to come to grips that they're imprisoned here with the really dumb. And the really dumb's never going to come out of the state of being really dumb. They're going to die really dumb. That's why we have to go to the children, and we have to get the minds of the children, and we have to help them to understand how to truly improve themselves. We have to get them to understand the trivium process of truth discovery. We have to get them to understand true and objective morality of the creator of the universe. We got to get to the children's of this world's minds. Ultimately, because there's way too many people in this world that are still in the Dunning-Kruger effect and are never going to come out of it. So this second stage, learning the trivium, the third part of the trivium is putting the info back out there for others to understand in a condensed way, in a way that makes it easier for people that don't have as sharp of a capability to truly understand it. You got to get it out to the really intelligent so they can vet and verify the method that you used to get to the truth. Then you got to collect and you got to not dumb it down completely, but you have to condense it and put it into a more easily digestible form for people that aren't as sophisticated. Some people, they started out not too intelligent, but they have the ability to become intelligent over time if they work at it really, really hard. And those are the people I'm talking to in your listening audience. I'm not talking to the people in the earlier category that are just going to die in ignorance. I'm trying to reach the people who still have a few brain cells to rub together and can really put their mind in a place of quieting the mind, of being truly present, really listening, really hearing the truth in what's being said, and then unscrewing up their thinking, un-effing their thoughts, okay? Because most people's thoughts are just completely effed up. And what you got to do is you got to un-eff them up. Okay, and that takes the trivium in hand to be able to do that. And I know most people will just ignore it. They'll hear it as some intellectual curiosity and say, I don't need to learn that. I don't know what this guy's talking about. You know, maybe when the Satanists are eating your children, when they're roasting your baby on a spit and they're going to eat it with some barbecue sauce, then maybe you'll go back and you'll listen to Mark Passio and you'll realize he was trying to tell you the truth to save your damn child from being roasted and eaten by Satanists, because that's what's coming. We're moving, our world's moving in that direction, in case you haven't noticed yet. Okay, so number three distortion in human thought put out by the Satanists is distortions regarding nature. The word nature comes from the Egyptian NTR, transliterated out of the hieroglyph of the sacred axe or the sacred flag, however you may want to look at that particular hieroglyphic interpretation. In Freemasonry, of course, they call this the sacred axe. In a more ancient version of Kemetology, the study of ancient Egyptian belief systems, it was the sacred flag. Whatever way you want to look at the symbology of it, that's fair game. And it is supposed to represent something that you can see moving, like a flag being blown by the wind, even though you can't see the force that moves it. And hence, the word NTR, as transliterated out of the ancient Egyptian, means God. It literally means God or spirit, okay? And we get the word nature from it, because in ancient Egypt, it was the word NTR was not pronounced nature, it was pronounced nature. Nature. Okay? So the vowels in between the consonants don't matter much. It's NTR. Okay? So we get the word nature from that. What does nature actually mean? It means of, from, or related to God. Literally, that which is natural is from God. The natural world is from God. The artificial and distorted world of crazy and distorted thought forms is not from God. That's from man being infected by the spirit of Shaitan or Satan, which is a force that distorts human thought. Just like God is the force that tries to put us into our optimum benefit and our optimum spirituality of knowing what right and wrong are and then aligning our behavior to right over wrong. This is not rocket science, folks. And again, the people who want to insist that this isn't the truth and this is wrong, you guys are Satanists. You are Satanists. It doesn't matter whether you think you're a Satanist or not. You're a Satanist in your thoughts. And then your thoughts drive your actions, so you become a Satanist in your deeds. You're a Satanist because of your distortion in thought, because thought precedes all behavior. And when you get your thoughts out of alignment with reality, truth, and God, then your behavior goes out of alignment with reality, truth, and God. Once again, folks, this is not rocket science. This is nursery school for idiots. That's what all of this is. Trying to teach natural law here on Earth, this is a perpetual nursery school for idiots, is what Earth actually is. The people who get this and learn it and master it keep looking at everybody else like, why are you so retarded? Why can't you understand something this simple? You got to be a complete dunce not to understand it. You know, and this is how I felt for almost the last 20 years. Moving on, then. So the form of distortion and poisoning here in thought is poisoning about nature. People don't know what nature is, and they don't know the difference between nature and artificial constructs, like the difference between natural law and man's law. Natural law is the laws of morality put into effect in the universe by the Creator, which governs human behavior based on whether our actions are in alignment with it or out of alignment with it. When our actions are in alignment with it, we have good things like order, prosperity, freedom, goodness, you know, etc. And when our behavior is out of alignment with it, in the aggregate of humanity, in the collective of all human beings, we get things like chaos, destruction, death, slavery, evil, and all other things that we say we don't want, but we keep getting because we won't change how we think. Okay? So if we don't understand that the difference between the natural and the artificial, all morality gets distorted. The next way that our behavior is distorted is the understanding of what human nature is or is not. So you could look at the other one as the distortion of morality, the difference between moral ways of thinking and immoral ways of thinking. The main other way that our thinking is distorted satanically is we don't understand what human nature actually is. You hear religiously diseased people with distorted religious ideas saying human nature is fundamentally flawed, and that's why we need belief in God or a savior figure, right? No, human nature isn't fundamentally flawed. Human nature is working exactly as it is designed to work, because what human nature is, it is not inherently good. It is not inherently evil. It is programmable. Human nature is programmability. Human nature is the ability of a being to become programmed through information and the quality of information that is put into it in the very early years of one's life and then continuing into, you know, adolescence and adulthood, etc. This is why if garbage goes in the form of information and beliefs, garbage comes out in the form of behavior and condoning of immoral beliefs. If good information and truth goes in the form of understanding objective morality when we're very young, then good behavior will come out through moral choice of behavior and moral enacting of behavior when we're an adult, and then we won't distort and pollute the world with distorted evil behavior. Once again, folks, if you can't hear the truth in what I'm saying, there's something fundamentally broken in your spirit. There's something fundamentally broken in your soul. Your soul broken. If you can't hear the simplicity and elegance and the truth in what I'm saying, I feel horribly, horribly bad for you as a human being, and you have real work to do to get your soul right with God. Quite frankly, if you can't hear what I'm saying, if you disagree, if you feel that I'm somehow trying to mislead people, there's something fundamentally broken inside your soul, and you really need to work to fix it and get right with God, because something's really wrong with you. And then the final distortion, and we can either flesh these out if you want, Jay, or we can move on to another topic, is the savior complex, or the savior psyop, as I like to call it. This is the belief that this problem of human slavery, it's not for us to better ourselves and to solve ourselves. No, we have to externalize our power and either look to a savior to fix us and fix our problems, or just wait around for something to happen that's done from some external force. And that's why Satanists gave you religion. That's the entire psyop of all world religions. It's the psyop of stand down, boys and girls. Stand down could have been spiritual warriors, but never were. Stand down. Don't act. Don't take real world action. Just believe. You don't need to do anything. You just need to believe in something. And that's going to fix all the woes of the world, including that big one, human slavery. When your own Christ figure told you to know the truth, understand objective morality and natural law, live it, and then teach it. back out into the world. Be an example of it and be a teacher of it. That's the action we need. And the action we need more than anything else is to cease and desist doing things that initiate harm to other beings and condoning actions that initiate harm to other beings. Don't do those things. Don't condone those things. And almost all of you out there in listening land, almost all of you out there within the sound of my voice, you are condoners of evil in many, 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 many ways. I can point the finger because I'm not a condoner of that evil. I can do that. I'm not throwing stones in a glass house because I'm not living in the glass house. And I can throw those stones at other people because they're still condoning the evil and immorality and violence of government at all. They're still condoning it. They're still believing in it. They still have that distortion of thought. They don't understand natural law. They condone man's law, which is all based in violence. Everybody who thinks that way, not only should be you should be ashamed of yourselves, but you are in fact Satanists. You are in thought and indeed satanic. And that is why you carry the mark of the beast in your head and in your hands.
Ah, my. Go ahead, continue.
Okay. Let's flesh these out a little bit more, okay? So if you start looking at each one in turn, which is what I'm really going to do when I break down this presentation, okay? It's again, it's I'm probably going to deliver this. Let me just give people a little bit of an idea of how I'm going to start transitioning my work, because this is something that I've talked about on my show, and I've really deeply considered it now. I've actually just laid in bed thinking and pondering this in a contemplative state, because I feel that my work has largely not gone in the direction that it needs to go. Not due to any failure in the way I teach my material. The people that want to say that can screw themselves, quite frankly. I've taught this to the best of my ability, and I am, quite frankly, the best moral teacher to come down the pike in the last couple thousand years on this planet, okay? And the problem is, that's the problem, is when people don't listen to real moral teachers, do you know what happens? The planet gets more distorted and more effed up for the next thousand years. That's what's coming with humanity, because believe me, people haven't listened to me. I mean, a tiny pissant handful of people have listened to what Mark Passio has had to say. I'm under no delusion that I'm popular, that I'm well-received, that I'm understood. None of those things. I'm not under any of those delusions. Anybody that thinks that I think my material is well-received or really popular or people are really getting it and they're waking up, you're on bad drugs if that's what you think. I know how much of a complete failure getting this message out to the bulk of humanity has been. And again, really, if you really want to think about it, if you really want to be honest, I haven't tried to get it out to the total unwashed masses. I've tried to get it out to select really good potential teachers. I've always said I don't want the dross. I don't want the chaff. Right? I want to separate the wheat from the chaff, and I want to have people really understand my work who are going to be potentially really good teachers of my work. That's, I want vertical integration, not horizontal. I want to build upwards, not sideways. We build upwards, we get 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 really excellent teachers of natural law and objective morality, of God's law, and we pump those teachers out there into the world, right? We might have a chance at reaching some of the unwashed, ill-informed, uneducated masses. Maybe if there's like 20 or 30,000 people doing this great work, doing God's real work, okay? Instead of what laughingly the church and other imbecilic priests call themselves men of God, you're nothing of the kind. Most of you are pedophiles. Most of you are communists. Most of you are government worshipers. And it's like you all do nothing but engage in distorted thinking and then propagate that out to other people and poison the thought and energy field of the earth. You're not men of God. You're not men and women of God. You're men and women of Satan. That's what most religion is. Satanism gave these distortions of thought and put them into the religious traditions to get people to buy into them and spread them. You know? So one of the things I want to do is I want to work smarter, not harder. with my work. So what I'm going to start doing is, instead of like having all day in-person events, I'm going to start doing all day virtual events where I can have way more than 200 people show up. Maybe I could have 2,000 people show up. Who knows? But I'm going to start doing my original presentations in all-day virtual theater, okay? And I'm going to put a dynamite new presentation together like I did with Natural Law or Demystifying the Occult or New Age BS or Two Masks, Same Face. And I'm going to put together a presentation about all of these satanic distorted thought forms. And again, the tentative title, I may revise this, is The Deepest, Darkest Secrets of the Occult: How Dark Occultists Enslave Humanity. Maybe How Dark Occultists Enslave Humanity Through Distorted Thought Forms. That might be a longer, but a more complete title, perhaps. Okay, I have to work out the exact title and subtitle that I'm going to have on this presentation. But I will do that, and I'm probably going to deliver this in a virtual online seminar type thing, where I do 8 hours of teaching and then an hour or two of Q&A afterward. And I think it'll be a very valuable event for people to attend online. So we were fleshing out these distortions in thought. And again, the first one, which all you got to do is go out and do a little social experiment with people. You know, go out and ask people, is truth objective or subjective? That's it. Is truth subjective or objective? Meaning, is there actual objective reality that human beings are capable of perceiving, or is everything just a matter of personal perception and no one can ever actually know what is true? And I guarantee you, you'll get the same numbers. You'll get the same numbers. About 2 out of 3 people will tell you there's no such thing as objective truth.
That's why I tell people, you know, you really have to look at the work of Dr. Bruce Lipton on YouTube. He gives some excellent talks about being programmed by society, and it's running 95% of your thought, beliefs, everything. You've got to get the subconscious reprogrammed with truth.
That's right.
You can look at Dr. Bruce Lipton's work, Biology of Belief. If you haven't read that, you're just robbing yourself. You need that foundational understanding of how the body mind works. If you don't have that, you're going nowhere. To fight the programming of the Satanists, you have to understand how you operate. If you don't know cause and effect of how your mind and your emotions work, then you don't know enough to get free. You won't have the motivation to do EFT. You won't have the motivation to listen to Mark Passio call you a stupid idiot. You know, you'll be a loser for nothing.
And that's
Jesus Christ died for your sins. I don't know when it happened, Mark, but I'm just saying I know that it's a spiritual reality that the grace of God is for everyone in this space. And
they
you should
want
avail
it to take
yourself,
yep,
of that grace.
That's right.
And do what the word says.
Yep.
God's word says, I constitute you reasonable beings. That
right.
means you need to learn how to reason.
That's
you
right.
need to learn how to think.
Imagine
like,
the genius.
That's not going to teach you.
That's right.
Okay.
Imagine the genius strategy from a chess master's perspective of the Satanists of this world to teach people through religious institutions from a very young age. You don't need to really know anything. You don't need to improve yourself. You need to believe this limited set of beliefs, and that's it. And what has it gotten you? What has it gotten people for thousands of years on this planet? Enslavement. And they're bringing that upon their children. I liken humanity. You know what humanity is? We're standing underneath a 40-foot wall We're standing right at the base of a 40-foot wall, and we all threw grappling hooks up to the top of the wall, and we're pulling it all down on top of ourselves. Massive, massive, massive blocks to crush us. But we're doing it to ourselves. People ask me all the time, Mark, who's the main people responsible for what's going on in this world? And I always hit them with an unseen uppercut that comes out of nowhere, and they were least expecting it. And I tell them it's the average dumb person in the world that's doing this to humanity. What do you think my answer is going to be? It's some unseen elite? They're just programming people with complete crap ideas. For those lies to be sold, they got to have willing buyers, like the person you were talking about.
Can I say something?
What's your price? Yeah.
There was a man on The View who was talking about, he just wrote a book. He used to work for CNN. In fact, I think he still does. But he wrote a book and he was talking about we have to get back to the attitude of Martin Luther King, that it is the quality of the person's character,
yes,
and their actions that matter.
That's
this
it.
Whole DEI thing did not earn is nonsense. It's communist bullcrap.
And what does it mean in Latin?
And the thing is, the people on The View attacked him and said, who are you working for?
Right. DEI, diversity.
Who is paying you off?
Of course.
To say this.
Of course, it's the globalists. It's the Satanists.
We want our racism. We want people to judge each other by their religion, by their color of their skin, by their socioeconomic platform.
Yeah.
We don't want people going to higher consciousness and true spirituality.
They have such great ideas.
What?
They have such wonderful ideas. I mean, they're going to take humanity to the next level with those ideas. DEI is an acronym. Diversity, equity, inclusion, right? But think about what it spells out as an acronym. DEI, DEI. What does that mean in Latin? It means of God. They're trying to tell you that their ideas are of God when they're of no such. Oh, they're of their God, all right. They're of their satanic God. They may be of Baal, those ideas, but they're not of the God of creation, right? See, that's what natural means. They're distorting the real natural law with their laws, and they're calling it of God. Look up. It's the genitive of Deus. It's Deus Dei. It means of God. Deus means God in Latin, and Dei means of God, like ad maiorem Dei gloriam, which means for the greater glory of God, Dei gloriam, glory of God. This is what people don't understand. They don't know their own twisted, distorted religion. I know I forgot more about people's religion because I studied every religion on the planet. I forgot more about people's religion than they know about their own religion. They don't even understand the wording that comprises their religion. They haven't even looked at ancient languages and etymology, etc. They don't even know what the words that are being thrown right in their face mean.
When you study the Greek and Hebrew, when you look at the etymology, it'll open your mind up. Unbelievable.
Yep.
All of a sudden you'll go, wow, this is social engineering.
Absolutely. Jay, thank you, man. It was a great one.
All right. Well, thanks again, Mark.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Good series.
It's only the end of the world again, folks. Don't panic.
For the fifth or sixth time. I don't know.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in